It is Locked On Jazz for the 3rd of February. Oh, where, oh, where has the defense gone? And trade deadline week is upon us. Plus, a Monday run around the NBA. We'll look at all those things coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz and the NBA, giving you all the insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully things that make it more fun and more interesting to be a Jazz fan. Hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl, the halftime show, and all of it. All right, so the Jazz have lost 4 in a row. We are off today and tomorrow. We are home against the Denver Nuggets on Wednesday and the Portland Trailblazers on Friday. Tickets are available for both of those at utahjazz.com. So if you get a chance, come out and see our All-Stars for the first time. First time they'll be introduced as All-Stars. I hope you got all that content at utahjazz.com as well as here on Locked On Jazz. There was some great stuff. All right, so what's going on? Our defense has completely disappeared. We have played 48 games this year, I believe, maybe 49. Our worst single defensive effort of the year was against Portland, exceeded only by San Antonio. 126.7 against San Antonio. 126.6 against Portland. Our 38th defensive performance against Houston and our 36th defensive performance against Denver. Disconcerting. It's interesting because I feel like you can look at each one individually and say, well, that makes sense because of this. But then you go link 4 of them together and you begin to get a little bit more concerned. So Houston makes some sense. One, the offensive rating was a 110. Houston's actually 11. Their defense rating was a 111. Houston's actually just better than that. So you actually had a half-decent game. And while they were missing Harden and Westbrook, I'm actually not sure that was to our advantage. We're pretty good at game-planning guys. And they killed us on the P.J. Tucker pick and roll, which they would have never run once the entire game had Clint Capella been available to them. And they wouldn't have run Eric Gordon got like 4 shots the next night when both those guys played. So that one, you just kind of feel like, all right, we didn't get really a chance to prepare. They had injuries late. It makes sense. Go to San Antonio. San Antonio has this like out of body shooting experience, like one of the best mid-range games in like a decade. And you kind of think to yourself like, well, all right, you know, happens. Then Denver, again, you're not terrible. 110.1. Denver's actually better than that. You held them a little bit below their average. And you might have gotten tired in the third quarter on a back end of a back-to-back at higher altitude. And you say, okay. And then Dame Lillard's just in another time, another place, in another zone. I mean, he's just absurd right now. Really incredible. And so you say, And he's unguardable, and he just blows up every defensive scheme, and he's just absolutely broken the game right now. I mean, he's 100% broken the game, and Portland's kind of doing this to everyone now at this point while Dame's on this run. Like, Portland's offense, I'll pull it up here. Portland's offensive rating for the last set of games is just kind of absurd. And so you look at all of 4 of those and say, well, maybe... Maybe it makes sense a little, you know, maybe we shouldn't, but then you put 4 of them together. It's a little disconcerting. And what is it? Is it dribble penetration? Is it lack of exterior defense? Is it a lack of togetherness and focus? I don't know exactly. It does feel as though we're having a hard time with dribble penetration. By the way, here's Portland's offensive ratings for the last 5 games. 123, 131, 114, 118, 127. So in this run where Dame has gone bananas, and if you actually back it all the way up to, like, they were 120 against Charlotte, you know, we weren't good, certainly, and we expect to be better than that. But Portland has had 5 of their 10 best offensive games in their last 5 games. So they're rolling right now. Something clicked. They've actually had, of their 20 best offensive games, they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, in 8 of them in their last 10 games. So they've had 8 of their top 20 offensive games in their last 10 games. I mean, they got hammered by Milwaukee on January 11th, and I think by 21, and Dame just said, I'm taking over. It's incredible. So we're, I don't have a grand, I mean, here's the thing. So Royce O'Neal's a pretty good defensive player when he's able to put his body in on you. So if Royce O'Neal was an elite level athlete, like just super, super, he would have been drafted, right? Like those guys don't go undrafted. So Royce's strength and grit and desire, and he gets his body in on you, he's pretty good. But on Dame, trying to guard him at 35 feet, that's a struggle. Because that's not Royce getting to put his body in on someone. That's Royce having to play in some space, and that's not his strength. Joe Ingles' strength defensively is his length. Joe Ingles plays the angles very well, understands what he's doing with that in that regard, plays in though, you know, now, again, when Dame suddenly is playing at 35 feet because he's shooting 40% from three outside 30 feet, then some of Joe Ingles' strengths go. Donovan's trying to become a better defensive player. Boyan's not a particularly good defensive player. Mike Conley's puts in a good effort, but he's small. We don't actually have like a great defense. We have a great defensive player in Rudy Gobert, but we don't have great defensive players. And they killed us on the Damian Lillard, Hassan Whiteside pick and roll. They killed us. 1.5 points per pick and roll in that game. So that's a, you know, Rudy didn't have a very good game either. Like, let's be honest about it. Like, I'm Rudy's biggest defender, but he did not have a particularly good game. Joe Ingles had a tougher time with Dame than we've usually seen. But those are our choices. So we have to play you inside of a system where we're funneling you to Rudy and allowing Rudy to have his impact on the game, and we couldn't do that against Portland. And Jokic is unique, and DeRozan then goes plays in the mid-range, and Houston had a weird night with the fact that they weren't playing a center. And so it kind of all makes sense, but as I said, it's a bit disconcerting when you put all four of them together. Right? So it's not, you don't like to lose four in a row. You don't like to lose four in a row against good teams. And it rocks your world a little bit about how good we think we are. We obviously thought we were world beaters there for a little while, and evidently we're not quite that. Our offense is still pretty good. Our shooting's still pretty good. And ironically enough, I feel like we are where we wanted to be at this point in time, or excuse me, let me rephrase it. I think we're exactly where I thought we were going to be at the beginning of the season, where how good are we going to be defensively? Like, I had us rated as the number one offensive team in the league when I ran our metrics. I think we're still pretty close, right? Since Jordan Clarkson, and certainly, you know, we're at some point that you're, but that's really who we are. It's since Jordan Clarkson joined the team on the 24th of, there's no reason for us to hide that, on the 25th of December, our offensive rating is still number one in the league by 3.5 points. Our defensive rating is 14th. We're average defensively. We're 14-5 in that stretch. We have, you know, we have the fourth best record in the league, our second best differential. We're still pretty good, which is not the world beaters we thought we were. In the last four games have been a little disconcerting, all with their own explanation, but let's see what we can do when we get back home. All right, trade deadline week. Let's dig into that. Today's show is a Monday edition, and it is brought to you by our good friends over at Murdoch Chevy. Fun things taking place at Murdoch Chevy right now. Murdoch Chevy located in Woods Cross. They've got the Blazer, which I drove for a while, which is just terrific. Then if you want, if you need some SUVs to get through the crazy snow like this, you've got the Tahoe and the Suburban, the Equinox as well. I mean, their work trucks are better than anyone else out there. That Silverado is just the real deal, plus all the great comfort you can imagine. And then a superstar lineup of SUVs from the Blazer to the Equinox to the Trax. So check it all out. It's at Murdoch Chevy. The Murdochs, for 90 years in Utah, they have been combined with Utah and Chevy, bringing you Americana and giving you that no regrets service. 0% APR for 72 months on the Chevy Trax and $500 cash allowance when you finance with GM. Also, for competitive owners, they have all sorts of allowances and other things for you. Great deals taking place. If you're going to stop by Murdoch Chevy, though, make sure you give me an email first at dlock09@gmail.com. We'll set you up, see if it's Ben or who it's going to be that takes care of you over there, and make sure you get a super experience. It's Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross. All right, so the trade deadline is here. There's some reasons why we're expecting the trade deadline to be a slow trade deadline. One, from the league-wide standpoint, there's not a big free agent market, and there's very few teams with free agent money in the offseason. So therefore, there's not a real reason for a bunch of people to go empty out the coffers, clear a bunch of cap space to try to get free so that they can make a big free agent splash. So if that makes sense, because there's not big NBA free agents out there in the 2020 class, then you don't have any real reason to go trade a piece to go clear cap space to get there. I mean, when you start looking at who the top free agents of the 2020 class are, it's just not a class that's going to move your meter. I mean, so I think what that's going to have an enormous impact. Brandon Ingram's going to get the max deal. Sorry about that. Brandon Ingram's going to get a max deal. We'll see what happens with DeMar DeRozan. Danilo Gallinari's probably going to have to be a sign-and-trade, which gets interesting. Andre Drummond. So there's just not a lot of names that are expected to be picked up there. Secondly, without a lot of teams with cap space, they don't have much money. They don't have much of an offer. So therefore, you're not going to have that. The second one is that this draft's not great. There's just draft picks are great, but this draft is not got anyone really super excited where they're trying to combine lottery odds or things of that nature. So when you put those two things together, the feeling is that this could be a pretty slow trade deadline. With that said, I do think there's two teams we're just about certain are going to upgrade who they are. So the Clippers are going to make a change. The Clippers have Mo Harkless and their picks, and they really have like an 18-month window by which they can get this thing done with the way Kawhi Leonard and Paul George's contracts are written. They're really under a tight timetable already. So I would suspect that we see them making a significant move of some sort. Now, what's interesting is everybody thought it was going to be Marcus Morris, but the Knicks are claiming they're going to hold on to him. So who it's going to be, I'm not entirely sure, but let's keep an eye, expect the Clippers. I think Denver makes a move here. Denver just has, they've been great. Amazing ability for Denver to stay with it. They lost last night, but only I think because they just finally hit pure exhaustion in everything that was going on with them when they went to overtime with Detroit, and they just played a ridiculous schedule. But they've been, you know, they're brutally injured. Gary Harris did play last night, came off the bench, and then suddenly Malik Beasley plays 24 minutes. I think they've got to make a decision there between Malik Beasley and Gary Harris, so you can see them make some sort of move there. Paul Millsap has been battling with injuries. He'll be a free agent at the end of the year. They have Jerami Grant there. They have Jamal Murray. There's a lot of pieces. They've been super. I think they're 34-16 now. But I'd suspect that they make a change. So those are the two teams that I think make a change. And Denver's, you know, pretty well solidified themselves as two or three in the West right now. So they make that move, they're able to get something done. The Lakers are interesting because the Lakers don't have a lot of pieces to their puzzle to go move around right now. And so I suspect at 37-11 that they actually stand pat. Houston's interesting. The Woj report yesterday that he is that they're shopping Clint Capella. It makes sense. They need to get better. They don't have enough pieces. They have a lot of dead, empty roster spots right now. And so they need some depth, and they don't actually have any other piece they could move other than Clint Capella. So how they do this, I'm not entirely sure. but it's watching. And then the three teams I think are going to be most interesting going into this trade deadline are Oklahoma City, Memphis, and Orlando. So Oklahoma City's going to make the playoffs. They're eight games up, and they're seven games up than Portland in the playoff race. Their thought going into the season may have been to make the playoffs. And frankly, Oklahoma City's only a half game behind Dallas at this point. But they also, I think, are still playing to the future. So I don't think they're willing to trade Chris Paul, but the right deal, you never know. Danilo Gallinari's been out there the whole time for them as a possible trade chip that they would move. So they have these kind of interesting pieces to the puzzle here, and you wonder whether or not what they're going to do with it. Now, there's some argument that Gallinari becomes a more valuable piece actually in the offseason because he becomes highly sought after as a free agent, and there's nobody has any money, so people are trying to sign and trade so you can go get some pieces. But they've got interesting trade pieces. Gallinari, Steven Adams, frankly, Dennis Schroeder. They've got a gap in their team, in their shooting guard. I mean, they're starting Dort, who's a rookie out of Arizona State, and they're backing him up with Baisley and other guys that aren't quite, you know, what they want. So it'd be interesting to see if they're willing to make some sort of move in that regard. And yet at the same time, they're 30-20 with their win over Phoenix a few nights ago. They've had a few nights off. And so what are they willing to do? Memphis is interesting because Memphis, when they came into the season, was not planned to be a playoff team. Memphis has Andre Iguodala sitting on their bench, who they, you know, have put on the, because they were going to be basically not tanking, but they weren't playing to win. And so they made this deal with him. And now all of a sudden they're going to have to try to move him at some point. And Harkless in a first round draft pick probably gets Iguodala to the Clippers. If you think that makes them better, I'm not convinced. Jay Crowder's just not shooting the ball well enough to trade for a first round pick. Are you willing to move him? He's a free agent. Same sign and trade rules could be for him on Gallinari, as well as you could sign him to an extension. They have some gaps. You know, what are they trying to build? How fast are they trying to build it? They're sitting at 500 right now at 24-25. They've got these two incredible pieces in Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant that are just amazing and have. And so what are they going to do to build around those two things? They've lost twice to New Orleans recently, which does not help their playoff quest. How important is that playoff run to Memphis? Gets really interesting on what they do. And then Orlando's the most interesting team to me of all. Orlando is sitting in the eighth playoff spot. They're 3.5 games up over Chicago, who's lost three in a row. But they have a new front office who has yet to put their stamp on that roster at all. I mean, they haven't done anything to let you know who they are, and they have just another miserable offensive night against Miami the other night where they shot 39% from the field and 27% from three. I'm not saying that you should make that decision based on one night, but their roster just doesn't fit. They've got Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac, who's injured, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Vukovic. They got four bigs. That doesn't work for you. Kem Birch, frankly, is not bad. He's their fifth. They've got to move something in that regard. Fournier's, I think, a free agent at the end of the year. I doubt they want to pay him after paying everybody else. So what are they doing with him? Really an interesting situation. And I think most of all, a front office that hasn't put a stamp down yet on what they're trying to do. From a Jazz standpoint, I think you're looking at either. I think the in vogue thing is a backup center, but frankly, in the playoffs, Tony or Ed could probably give you the 8 or 9 minutes you need. Can you find some sort of, versatile wing, maybe a little bit of a defensive-minded player? Is there someone who can actually play a 4-5 out there? And then what do you actually have to offer? And that's what's difficult. We don't have a lot of first-round picks to offer. We really have to make a decision if we think Juwan Morgan, Jarrell Brantley, Justin Wright Foreman, Mia One, or Rajon Tucker actually can play. Do we think two of those might pop? Then you're not as worried about giving up another first round draft pick. If you're a little less certain that any of them are going to pop, then you probably have to be careful because we need to add some pieces to this puzzle. And as Rudy gets his extension and Donovan gets paid and Boyan's on his contract and Joe's on his contract with the extra year this year and you've just paid Royce, we don't have a lot of money to go add pieces, so draft picks are your mechanism to do that. And we've got these five guys in our system right now, and do you believe any of them are going to pop? and be rotation players, not starters, but do you believe Jarrell Brantley, Juwan Morgan, Rajon Tucker, Justin Wright Foreman, or Mia One can be rotation players? Then if you believe two of them are going to be rotation players, you're probably more willing to move another first round pick. We're a little limited because of the Mike Conley deal and what you can do with first round picks. And we just don't have a lot of salary to move, right? Ed Davis has got a year on his contract. Ed Davis is pretty valuable to this team in a lot of ways that I don't think get recognized. So you got to be a little careful on what you're willing to move, do there. He's, you know, from a locker room and team and everything standpoint, he's pretty darn important to everything that's going on. But you just don't have a lot of pieces that you're eligible to move there if you're trying to find something. Jordan Clarkson in theory, but boy, he's been terrific. I would be very surprised. And the way the offseason works, there's not a lot of money for Jordan, as we've been talking about, so you can re-sign Jordan probably without too much trouble. So I wouldn't expect a flurry of moves from the Jazz. The buyout market might be more interesting, and the buyout market could include, and I don't know if this really does anything, but like some of the older players, like a Marvin Williams, who you know wouldn't upset the apple cart, but I would expect Charlotte moves past him in some way, shape, or form. And then, you know, if Charlotte moves past him, then do you add Marvin Williams? He's a good shooting four, a little depth, a little veteran, helps you out a little bit. I don't know if he can play five, but he just gives you a little extra. Maybe you make some sort of move in that regard. So that's where I see the trade deadline. We'll run around the NBA coming up. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie's got a lot of really fun things going on. Have you seen the blimp at the... I love their giveaway. It's so kind of representative of what's going on with who they are. The Homie has got the blimp that they give away money. And it's representative of who they are because they've saved $50 million in savings from commissions. So far this year. I mean, that's truly an incredible number. A real estate technology company that's just changing the way things are going. They literally home listed at Homie sell for 1.2% higher than comparable homes listed from traditional brokers. Homes listed with Homie sold an estimated 8 days faster than comparable homes with traditional brokers. Other discount brokers also sell homes for higher price than traditional brokers, but do not sell homes as quickly as Homie. It's pretty impressive what they've done so far. And Homie has an academic study from the BYU professors show that Homie's doing all of this. That's where that information is coming from. And they're saving sellers an average of over $10,000 on average. It's pretty amazing. Here's what you got to do. You got to just text Homie to, or text Lock. You can text Homie to wherever you want, but I would suggest for getting what you want. Text Lock to 88588. That's locked to 88588. And find out what Homie can do for you. That's locked to 88588. By the way, if you listen to Locked on NBA the other day, I was mentioning the Calm app, which I'm using, doing about 25 minutes of meditation every day. Really liking it. I think I mentioned it, but it's calm.com/lockedonNBA for 40% off your premium membership. So feel free to check that out. All right, let's run around the NBA. Let's do last 10 games first and see where everybody sits, and then we'll do last 2 weeks. So in the last 10 games, the number one offense in the NBA is Damian Lillard at a 120. Dallas is at 118.4. We're at 117.5. Toronto is fourth. Toronto's incredible. Is everybody seeing what Toronto's doing right now? Toronto's won 11 straight. They've moved to 2 games ahead of anybody else in the East for the number two spot. I said this when we saw Toronto the first time. I think they could beat Milwaukee in the playoffs. Could you imagine Toronto versus the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard finals? It would be like the worst rated finals ever in the history. But Oklahoma City is the fifth best offense in the NBA the last 10 games. And the Pelicans are the sixth best. Miami 7, Milwaukee 8. Anybody's offense struggling, surprising. Charlotte can't score. They're at 101.4. The Knicks. Philadelphia 76ers offense. Actually, that's another team I didn't talk about, the trade deadline. Fascinating to see what they do. Philadelphia's offense over the last 10 games is 28th in the NBA. Orlando is 27th. As I talked about, they have a hard time scoring. Chicago without missing some guys, and so that's happening there. Golden State and then Minnesota. On the defensive end of things, Milwaukee's number one. Philadelphia's number two. So Philadelphia can defend right now, can't score. Toronto's number three. So Toronto's offense is four and their defense is three, an 11-game win streak. The Knicks defense, here's the interesting one that's going on in the NBA. Milwaukee's defensive rating over the last 10 games is a 102. Philadelphia and Toronto's a 104. Then it jumps to 107.5, which is the Knicks. Then Boston at 107.6. Then it quickly goes to 108. And the league average recently is 112, which is exactly where we are. We're league average in that stretch. 5-5 in our last 10 games with a 112 rating. Teams are surprising that can't defend right now. Nobody. Dallas and Portland are the good teams, but it's all the teams you'd suspect that are not playing defense right now. Net rating overall, Milwaukee's 1, Toronto's 2, Boston's 3. Oklahoma City is 4. Hottest team in the West is OKC right now. 7-3 in their last 10. Clippers are 5. Jazz are 6. Pelicans are 7. Blazers 8. Dallas 9. Lakers are 6-4 in their last 10 and slipping a little bit. They've obviously had the one game against Toronto. They've had a lot going on. Pace of play is interesting also. Milwaukee is playing at 108 possessions a game right now. The next fastest is Atlanta at 105, then Houston at 105. The slowest is all the way down to Charlotte and Miami at 95. That's a huge gap. If you're wondering, we're sitting at about 99, so just a notch below average. The average is still sitting at right at 100. But a huge discrepancy in pace of play right now, particularly from the four or five teams that are really fast, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Houston, and New Orleans. The other one that is interesting is offensive rebounding. There's four or five teams that are doing it. We're actually high on the list right now with Tony playing. He's getting some offensive rebounds. We're fifth in the league in offensive rebounding in the last 10 games. The league average offensive rebounding is at 27%, which is a little higher than it has been. And the range is 33% in Denver at the highest, to Indiana at 21% at the lowest. So you're seeing some real discrepancies there. A little bit shorter sample size and eliminating blowout time using cleaning the glass. And just they have over the last, they look at it over the last 2 weeks, which again is just a little bit different than what I was just looking at, because that was equalizing for the last 10 games. Hottest team in the league is Boston, followed by Toronto, Milwaukee, Portland, Oklahoma City, and Miami. We're ninth in the last 2 weeks. Offense, number one in the league is Portland by a large margin. Then Boston, Washington jumps in their list. Oklahoma City, Toronto again, New Orleans, Milwaukee. We're sitting at ninth. Defensively, Boston's better than everyone else. Boston's really rolling in the last 2 weeks. Toronto, Philadelphia, this is a smaller sample size, could have to do with opponents too. Milwaukee, the Knicks are actually fifth best defense again, so a little surprising the Knicks are defending. Oklahoma City, fourth offense and sixth defense recently, fifth best overall. Miami and the Clippers, the teams that are surprised, nobody's, Dallas is surprisingly poor right now. Defensively, they're 27th in the league, so keep an eye on that. They have fallen off. Offensively, surprisingly poor right now. Again, we get to Philadelphia, so nothing too big surprise. And teams not playing well right now, nothing very surprising. All right, that's our weekly run around, our look at the trade deadline, and what's happening with your Utah Jazz. We'll have more to dig into tomorrow. Hope everyone's doing great. This has been Locked On Jazz. The Hollinger and Duncan Show is out for their Monday edition. Let's go take a listen now by telling your smart device to listen to the most recent episode of podcast Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day.